beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10.
6:44.
Once again.
Christmas in less than a month. Black Friday today, and it means deals galore today. You can find many of those deals locally, maybe just a few steps from your house, maybe just a few minutes drive away. Either way, you can see it right there. You can hold it. And in most cases, you can bring it home instantaneously. One of those local businesses is Dutch Growers. And Rick Van Dyvendyk from there and from Garden Talk here on 980 CJME joins us this morning. Rick, good to talk with you again. How are you?
Good morning, Gavin. I'm doing awesome.
Christmas time is here, less than a month away now, and I have certainly noticed a lot of Christmas decorations in my neighborhood go up. We haven't decorated yet inside the house, Rick. I think that might be this weekend, but for a lot of people, if they are choosing real Christmas trees this year, we need to know right off the bat, are they going to be hard to find this season?
Different varieties are going to be harder to find. There was probably around 6-7 years ago, there was a whole crop failure. And so that is catching up to us in the last bunch of years and about two more years to go yet. So there's a lot of varieties that are missing and a lot of sizes that are missing. Like last year, I was able to get a lot of balsam firs and not very many Frasers. And this year it was totally opposite of that. And so it's all over the place. So there's, and then I wanted to order more Christmas trees because Christmas trees have been selling more and more each year ever since the COVID. But now I can't even buy more Christmas trees because they're just not available. So my suppliers I've had for 30 years say that, sorry, you only get what you've ordered in the past. You can't add on to it yet. So, yeah, it's quite something.
Not quite at Christmas yet, but we are at Black Friday today. Everybody is going to be going through lots of local stores, and they're going to be looking for some good deals, Rick. What can you give us when it comes to plants, garden? What can we find?
Oh yeah, there's lots of Black Friday sales on right now. And people are really getting into the indoor plants and that kind of thing. They're getting into things like plants that are more exotic and those kind of things, or if they just looking for low maintenance, like snake plants and that. But I think what you said is in the very beginning, Kevin, is important. Is the whole shopping local? If you want, you know, people to be able to go to stores that are around and be able to support employment and everything else, shopping local is huge in every industry, but especially in the gardening industry.
Well, yeah, I want to see what my product looks like before I buy it. And speaking of buying, Christmas is coming up. If I'm a keener, which I'm usually not, but maybe this year is going to be different. If I am in the market for a gift, plant or garden related, what kind of ideas can you give me, Rick?
Well, I think a lot of people are getting away from chemicals and everything else. So what I always teach people to do is that, you know, put a bird bath, you know, or a bird house or something like that to be able to attract birds to your yard because they eat so many insects that you don't need to spray your plants. And so people are doing that quite a bit. So that's a simple little gift, whether a bird house or bird bath, those kind of things. That's easy. We've had up and down droughts and everything else. Getting a root feeder for their trees to water, deep water their trees. That's a simple thing, but it's a nice little tool that any gardener can use. Things like pruners. You can buy a good pair of pruners that last you a lifetime. So you can get one of those, or people with fruit trees, let's say, Kevin. What they can do with fruit trees is that there's now, people are always worried about, I can't reach them anymore. I don't want to climb up a ladder. Well, there's extendable poles with little baskets that you can pick your fruit off from the ground. You don't have to climb a tree or climb a ladder to pick those apples or plums or whatever. So there's lots of little gifts like that. And of course, there's things like, you know, in the plants, there's amaryllis, which is a great time Christmas one, or Christmas cactus. People have Christmas cactus in their homes for multiple generations. They pass it down. They live so long and they're easy to take care of. And so, or an orchid. It's such an exotic plant, but it's such an easy plant to take care of, and it blooms like almost all year long. And so those are kind of fun things to give somebody that they have a lasting gift that they can see it all the time and remember that, you know, I got that from so-and-so, and they remember it all the time.
Rick Van Dyvendyk, you are the man with, I think, every answer to our gardening questions. Sweater weather, my friend. Take care.
You're welcome.
Yeah. 6:53. Normally this time of morning, Greg Morgan would be talking with me, but I'm in for Greg, and in for me, Andrew Shepherd.
Good morning.
Have you decorated yet for Christmas? I'm noticing, so we haven't, and I'm just noticing, like, on our street, tons of people have not only decorated, but they're going all out this year. So it seems like it's maybe a little earlier this year and more intense this year for Christmas decorations. Have you decorated? Have you noticed the same thing?
I have noticed the same thing in my neighborhood. I was like, man, a lot of people, not even only outside, but you can see through the window, like their Christmas trees are up. There's a fair bit in my neighborhood. In fact, my neighbor across the street, Halloween ends. I don't even think the last kid has come up to the door before, bam, Christmas tree's up. Like November 1st,
wow.
They put that up right away. They have some inflatables on the lawn. And they're really into it. I had some problem with my outlet last year. It was not working. I think some water was getting in or whatever. So I haven't gotten around to fixing it. And so no Christmas lights this year. But we strung up some lights on our front window to try to remain festive. So that's all I've done so far. Going to put the Christmas tree up probably inside this weekend.
Festive time of year for businesses, and especially today, Black Friday today. And we know that businesses are going to be extraordinarily busy throughout the day and throughout the city.
Yeah. And hey, if you're out and you're buying a new toy, drop it off at a CJME's Santa's Anonymous bin if you're out there for Black Friday. But yeah, it's Black Friday. It's kind of an American the day after Thanksgiving. But it's, you know, over the years grown in Canada, not just Black Friday, but Black Friday week
and month pretty
month.
Well yeah, in a lot of the cases. So it's
I went out and bought a new sound bar.
Taking advantage of shopping
that.
Locally well yeah. A lot of other people will certainly be doing that. In the news this morning, we are telling you about a couple of announcements, a couple of agreements, and there is one that is expected to be signed in this province today.
Yeah, it's the $10 per day childcare agreement. The province says it will be signing that. The feds are in town today, so we expect that's the extension. The five-year deal was set to expire in March, and this will save families, will continue to save families hundreds of dollars a month. It works out to just over $200 a month as opposed to whatever with it's not subsidized, $700, $800,
yeah,
maybe up to $1,000 for some places.
And it is a big difference, isn't it? We're talking about like several hundred dollars. And I mean, when you think about, you know, those who have more than one child, like that adds up. So.
Yeah, like my daughter's in daycare. She's at the about $217 a month as opposed to without it would be around $800.
Yeah.
That's quite a cost savings there. But, you know, some providers have been calling for this to be extended. They weren't quite sure what's the future going to look like if this expires in March. But they also raised some issues with the current agreement. You know, they didn't have the infrastructure and the staff and space available when it was first launched. So they're needing some funding here.
We have another agreement. It's being called a memorandum of understanding. So it's not like it's, you know, absolutely what's going to happen. But there is new hope for a new pipeline.
It's at the base of this. It's Alberta and Ottawa agree that a pipeline should be built. That's just that is something that hasn't been seen in a long time. So yeah, nothing's being built right now. There's no shovel in the ground.
Yeah.
We don't even know who, if anyone, is going to build it. But this is an agreement that, yes, they want to work towards this. There's also more with this. It's not just the pipeline. It exempts Alberta from clean energy regulations while Alberta's agreed to strengthen in the industrial carbon tax. Now, that's something that Saskatchewan has stopped collecting and remitting at the start of the year. So we've asked the premier, what's Saskatchewan going to do with that? He basically said, we'll see. But he says, you know, this deal in Alberta could lend itself to maybe what Saskatchewan might do.
Andrew Shepherd has a lot more on the pipeline and childcare announcements coming up in moments. CJME News Time is now 6:57. What is the future of the Regina Farmers Market? Now, they just met last night to discuss, in particular, the future location of Saturday outdoor farmers markets. Now, Saturday markets for the last decade plus have been at City Square Plaza, though with downtown construction, the Saturday market has been moved to Confederation Park at Real District right by Mosaic Stadium. But eventually, construction will finish, we hope. And so the market has to figure out, go back to City Square Plaza, or stay at Confederation Park. Executive Director of the Farmers Market, Holly Laird, joins me on the line this morning. And Holly, is that more or less the gist of the conversation with the public last night?
Yes, absolutely. You nailed it. That's what we were discussing.
So was a decision made?
No, a decision hasn't been made yet. We're actually just in the process of gathering data, having discussions and conversations, engaging with our vendors and the public, and then the decision will ultimately be made by our board of directors.
And when does that happen? Any idea?
Hopefully within the next couple of months. We're hoping early 2026 we'll know that we've got a lot of planning to do coming up, so we kind of have to figure it out.
Is there a third option or just those two? Could there be perhaps another location if there was one that presented itself?
We're definitely open to looking at other locations, but in terms of 2026, it's just the two locations that we're weighing.
So what are the benefits and drawbacks of both of the locations on the table right now?
Yeah, I mean, they both have really great things about them, and then they have some things that are not so great. And we heard from almost 1,700 people in our customer survey, which was just incredible, with lots of opinions and ideas about it. But what we're basically hearing is, you know, downtown has a lot of ambience, and they love the experience being next to Victoria Park, and they miss us being there. They love that we're part of the downtown revitalization, and those sorts of themes came up a lot. But then the folks that love Real, they like the convenience and the parking mainly are the things they like about us being at Real.
So people really do seem to be pretty split on this. Like, is it like, how close are we talking here? Is it almost 50-50?
No, about 70% of the people that filled out our survey prefer downtown. But the interesting thing is we did a survey with our vendors as well, and about 70% of them like Real. So it's split in a different way.
Holly Laird of the Regina Farmers Market on the line with me this morning. I always thought, and maybe there's more to it, but could you not have, what about like Wascana Park? I'm thinking like if you need like, you know, parking or space, has that ever come up as a possibility to put the farmers market somewhere in the park?
Well, we do have our tomato festival every year in August that happens at the legislative building. So we are familiar with setting up at that location. There are some logistical challenges that exist with that location that would be hard to have every single market. There's a lack of power there. There's actually, it seems like there's a lot of space, but there isn't as much as there is in other locations.
Was location the only subject matter discussed at this meeting last night, or did anything else come up?
That was the main topic for our panelists, and we tried to stick to that. But ultimately, the Regina Farmers Market has a strategic goal to find a permanent year-round location for our market. And so that came up as well, too, because, you know, we've moved quite a lot over the last few years, and we really would like to just settle somewhere and put our roots down.
And finally, Holly, I want to ask you as well, we're less than a month away from Christmas now. You have some upcoming Christmas markets. Tell us about those.
Yeah, these are some of our biggest markets of the whole entire year. So we have three markets on Saturdays in December, the 6th, the 13th, and the 20th. They have extended hours from 9 until 3, and they'll be at Banner Hall at the Real District. Every single market is at capacity for vendors. We have 80 at each one, and they're some of our busiest markets of the year. So we're really looking forward to connecting with our community through those events as well.
Well, we appreciate your time this morning, Holly. Thanks for waking up with us.
Oh, absolutely. Have a great day.
Kevin Martell in for Greg Morgan.
You know how much I love this song?
Evan Bray is with me this morning, and I was going to say, when I hear this song, I think of Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, that is probably showing my age.
Oh, my God, you're such a kid. He's such a kid. I think about having the album of the Spinners, and you're thinking about Guardians of the Galaxy?
Thank you. Well, I'm almost 40, so I appreciate you saying that I'm still a kid, so that's great. My regimen is
that's
actually
funny.
Now. I'm just
kidding.
Hey, fresh off Agribition.
Oh.
Did you go to the mini donut stand? Please tell me.
I walked by the mini donut stand. I saw people eating the mini donut stand, and I believe it or not, this is going to add to the stereotype. A couple of my police friends stopped by, and one of them had a bag, and I had one of his mini donuts.
Oh, good.
I said to him, why would a cop stand in line to buy? He goes, well, I like mini donuts. What do you want me to say?
A police officer liking donuts. I'm not even going to finish the punchline.
No, exactly. It rates itself.
Yeah. we're talking about Agribition. A lot of people are here for the show. I'm driving around last night, too, and it's busier in the city. Certainly, people are getting ready for Black Friday today. But I'm noticing Christmas decoration.
Yeah,
it feels like all of a sudden, within like a couple days, it was like, boom, Christmas right in your face. It seems like people are doing it more intense this year. It seems like they're doing it earlier.
Yeah, I think, you know, on the years where we have a bit of a late snow, like this year, I would say it's safe to say for the south part of the province, later snow than we usually would get. That's given people like kind of that incentive to say, you know what, why don't we take advantage of it and get out? In fact, I've got a neighbor who has never decorated for Halloween, and he has gone all out. He's got the lights. He's got an inflatable on his front yard. So, it's good to see. And with today being Black Friday, I got home yesterday. My mailbox was full of flyers. So all of the local stores are throwing on the Black Friday sales. I heard you had Sunshine and Ski, I think, on your program a little bit earlier. Yeah. So, you know what? It's a great time this weekend, if you're not going to Agribition, to get into some of the stores and get some Christmas shopping done.
Evan Bray in with me this morning. So big in the news, obviously, this pipeline MOU, this memorandum of understanding with Alberta. I'm going to ask you point blank, even with this agreement, do you think this pipeline gets built?
You know what, Kevin? I do. I think there's lots of bumps in this road, though. And, you know, we've got the BC premier standing at the Alberta border with his arms crossed and a stop sign saying, no, you're not coming here.
Energy vampire is the word he uses.
I know. In fact, I'm going to talk with the premier about that when he's on the show this morning, because he's really accusing Premier Mo of being distracted by this pipeline. And that's the reason that Nutrien has gone south of the border for port enhancement to get Saskatchewan potash off to the Asian markets. So, I'm frustrated with David Eby, the premier of BC. I feel like he's being a bit of a sourpuss on this whole thing. But
about the First Nations as well? Because I know some First Nations groups along the BC northern coast, they've been opposed to this, and they say they will use what they can, all tools at their disposal, to try and, you know, I guess, block this for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much at play here. Part of the thing is, and I won't get too deep into it here, but part of the reason is that tanker ban that happens on the coastline there, it's called the Heckett Strait. It's actually supposedly one of the most dangerous bodies of water for big ships to come in. It's quite shallow. There are heavy, heavy winds, and at times the sea swells to the point that you've got 20-meter waves that expose the seafloor. So that gives you an example of, and so what the worry is that if you lift the tanker ban, you're going to have an oil spill, or the possibility of an oil spill with the tankers is high. So I watched a whole documentary on that here recently, and that's part of the reason why those First Nations are worried about it. So, I mean, where they put the port and some of those things, that will be instrumental in ultimately approval.
Very quickly, Premier Mo, you had mentioned, is coming up on the show. Who else? You have a minister coming up.
That's right.
As well.
Minister of Energy, the Federal Minister of Energy, Tim Hodgson, is on the program. Is this move, and I know this is a bit of a controversial thing for me to say, is this move by the federal government a way to tap Alberta on the head and say, okay, there you go, go work on this, and maybe you'll leave us alone for a while, and we can get on with it, you know, because it's not a deal. It's an MOU to lay the groundwork for a deal, but boy, it's got Alberta with a lot of groundwork to lay yet. So we'll have a discussion with Minister Hodgson on the show this morning as well.
Evan Bray will be back just after the 8:30 news.